So Alan was using non-invasive technology to change behaviour. But Kevin Warwick, cybernetics professor at Reading University, has gone one step further to become one of the world's first cyborgs.
Well, I've had a number of implants. The most successful one was, it consisted of 100 electrodes, very small spikes, which were fired into my nervous system, the nervous system in my left arm, to link my nervous system with a computer and then onto the internet. So essentially, we were using neural signals from my brain, to control the robot hand and various pieces of technology, but also to feed signals back from the computer into my nervous system so I could experience extrasensory input, learn to recognize ultrasonic signals, for example, and recognize distance to objects and so on. So was really looking at extending the abilities of humans by using technologies, implant technologies of that kind.
What were your own reasons for wanting to become one of the world's first cyborgs?
Well, it was twofold. One was to look at the technology and assess it for looking at helping people that have problems for a therapeutic purpose, people who are paralyzed or people who are blind, all sorts of different cases where the person's brain is functioning perfectly okay, but there is a problem either getting signals from the brain to the outside world for them to move or operate technology or whatever it happens to be, or getting signals into the brain. And it was really looking in a general way, how could people like that be helped? But at the same time, the second aspect was to say, okay, well, if we're linking directly to the brain, then we're no longer restricted by the physical input-output that humans have, the human body, such as the eyes and ears or hands and legs to move. If you connect directly to the brain, then you can connect up all sorts of other pieces of technology, and so the person can have lots of different extra abilities, different senses, and control different things from their brain directly. So it was looking at the enhancement side, allowing people to have extra abilities as well as just using the same technology for therapeutic purposes.
And what kind of implications for society do you think that this technology has?
First point is, I think we can and will see over the next 10 years all sorts of different neurological problems that will be tackled by using technology of this type. So things that at the moment we couldn't imagine, and maybe chemicals, pharmaceuticals are the best we got. So things like schizophrenia, for example, I think that is going to be tackled by using this technology. Deep brain stimulation is available now to successfully tackle Parkinson's disease, for example, and it's also being used for things like Tourette's syndrome, epilepsy. So these are electrodes deep in the brain that can counteract the effects of a particular problem. And schizophrenia is amongst the problems. It's a much broader problem, but it's amongst the problems that are now being looked at, and initial investigations are being made as to where exactly to apply electrical currents to overcome the problems, where to stimulate. And I think partly it's opening up more of an understanding on the problem, but also with the possibility of actually tackling the problem itself.
What do you think was the, from your experimentation on yourself, had the most impact on your life in terms of the kind of extra skill that you gave yourself?
Oh, the biggest thing for me, my wife also had electrodes implanted, and we sent signals from brain to brain, literally communicating electronically directly. And I think in the future that's going to be the biggest thing of using technology into the brain, that we will be able to send signals to communicate directly from brain to brain, between humans and machines and so on. And therefore, this form of communication we call speech, which is pretty pathetic technically, will be obsolete before long. We'll communicate just by thinking to each other.
How did you communicate with each other?
for us, it was a very, very basic thing, a bit like if you can remember the Morse code and telegraph type signaling, dots and dashes. When my wife closed her hand, my brain received an electronic pulse. So if she closed her hand three or four times, dee, 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 like that, my brain received several pulses. So it was very much of the first basic type of communication. But when we have a much broader connection directly from brain to brain, then clearly it will open up all sorts of communicating in terms of thoughts, images, feelings, emotions, a much broader range of communication than we have at present.
Thanks to Kevin Warwick, who started Cyborg Communications with his wife back in 2002.